Well, we can discuss beauty and consolation in nature, in evolution, in mankind, in music, in contingency.
Sure, fine.
Let's start with Joe DiMaggio.
What about him?
Well, you tell me.
hard to convey to Dutch audiences, but there must be comparable football heroes. Think about Joe DiMaggio. He was the center fielder for the New York Yankees when I was a kid. I was born in 1941. 1951 was the last year he played. Center fielder is the major position in the outfield of a baseball field. Traditionally, the center fielder is the big hitter, the hero of the team. It's not always the case, but most of the great batters in the history of baseball have played the outfield. Many have played center field. DiMaggio is, in fact, he's still alive, just as elegant as ever in his mid-80s now. DiMaggio was just the most gracious player you've ever seen. He was a man of another age. The current world of celebrities, everybody has an ego as high as the moon, had nothing to do with DiMaggio. DiMaggio had a kind of natural elegance and grace. It didn't come from his background. He was a working class kid from San Francisco. His family were Italian fishermen. He had ended up owning a seafood restaurant in San Francisco that did well, but certainly it didn't come from a gentleman's background or anything. I think he just had a wonderful natural grace. He was a great player. He was a great hitter. He was a great fielder, but it was more than that.
What is the grace? His movements, his
style. Yes, style. He would, for example, if you watch modern baseball, almost every player today will make plays look more difficult than they actually are. That is, if a ball is difficult to catch, they'll tumble over or they'll stretch more than they have to. They just make it look hard. Mm-hmm. But in American slang, it's called hot-dogging, which means making it look harder than it is, making you look better than you really are. DiMaggio is the exact opposite. He would make everything look easy. Whenever there was a hard ball to catch, he would just run and he'd be there and he'd understate it. And of course, he had a very interesting life. He was married to Marilyn Monroe, as you know. Mm-hmm. Other things.
Great example.
Yeah. And so, of course, for a young male in New York at the time, he was the consummate hero. When I met him once, because I did an American Science show in the early 80s about me, and I was, since, as you well know from a previous context, I don't do a lot of television, I don't particularly care for it, I was initially balking. I didn't want to do it. And they said, what's the one thing we could do that would get you to do it? And I said, well, you arrange an interview with Joe DiMaggio so I can meet him, and then I'll do the show. And they did it. So I did meet him once, and I must say, and I brought my son to see him, who was a baseball fan, and he really matched all my thoughts and hopes about him. The grace and the dignity is
gentle,
is real. Yeah, yeah, he's a wonderful man. One little incident. You may remember there's a major earthquake in San Francisco a few years ago. DiMaggio still lives in San Francisco, and he lives in the Marina District, which is an area of reclaimed land that was very severely hit by the earthquake, and his house was severely damaged. And for people whose houses were damaged, you had to go down the next day and wait on a long line to get whatever help you're going to get. And he just went down there, an old man in his late 70s then, early 80s. And he was waiting online like everyone else. He didn't ask for any special privilege. And finally, after he'd been waiting for a long time, somebody said, hey, you're Joe DiMaggio, don't you? And I think that they wanted. But he wasn't going to ask for anything. Can you imagine any modern baseball player doing that? It just, and I think it just came natural to DiMaggio. It's the kind of man he is. And no, he was a wonderful player. The other, there's also a personal part to it. When, as you probably know, when a baseball is hit into the stands, that is, into the audience, whoever catches it gets to keep it. And of course, it's very rare to get one. I mean, there could be 50,000 people in a game. You know, what, 20 or 30 balls are hit into the stands. Well, my father was a court stenographer, and we didn't have much money. So when we went to the game, we usually sat way up in the third deck where balls don't come. But some of the judges had season tickets and had very good seats. Every once in a while, my father would get the judges' tickets, because, as I said, he was a court stenographer, and then we could sit very close. And one day in 1949, we had these wonderful seats, and DiMaggio was up, and he hit a little pop foul right towards us. And it's like one of those frozen moments. It only could have taken a second or two. Yeah. But I remember the ball was coming right at us, and I said, "Dad, catch it, catch it." And he said, "You never get balls." But he put his hand up, and the ball fell right in. We got it. And we mailed it to DiMaggio, and he signed it and sent it back. And that, of course, made me the neighborhood hero. DiMaggio was like God. You know, I would tell kids in the neighborhood, "I have a ball signed by Joe DiMaggio," and they would say, "Oh, go on, you must be kidding, that's absurd." No, it's like having a ball signed by God. And then I'd bring him into the house and show him this, and there it was. So that's Joe DiMaggio. Because if you want to talk about the essence of beauty and consolation, and I'm sure just about everyone else in your series will say the same thing, what is the essence of human beauty and consolation? We live in a universe that is often not working the way we'd like it to, and why should it? It wasn't constructed for us. After all, the Earth's 4.5 billion years old, and life's 3.5 billion years old, and humans have been here for a couple hundred thousand years, and although there's a lot of joy and pleasure in life, there's also a lot of necessary pain and mystery and disappointment and sadness, and so because this universe was not made by God for us, and therefore a lot about it is very confusing, and there's a lot of sadness, there's also a lot of joy, but because of that, we have to construct meaning, and that's beauty and consolation. We find beauty, in part because our brains are built to perceive it. We need to find consolation, and there are many ways in which we do it. Well, one of the ways is sport, is entertainment, in the deep and legitimate sense of it. That is, we construct institutions like sports, which have where nobody gets killed. See, that's the beauty of sports. That's why it's consolation. You, as a child, even as an adult, you can root for the New York Yankees. You can love the New York Yankees. If they fail one year, your heart can be broken. But it's only for a couple of days, and nobody dies. And if they win, it can be the most exciting, exalting thing in the world, but it doesn't kill anybody on the other side. See, that's real consolation. It's not phony. It's not artificial. It's just constructing a world in which all the emotions of joy and disappointment can be expressed, where you can really love, where DiMaggio can be here. I don't know the personal Joe DiMaggio. I did meet him once, and in a way it doesn't matter. I don't know whether he's a nice man all the time. I'm sure he has faults and human foibles like everybody else. I'm sure he had a hard time with Marilyn Monroe because she's a difficult woman.
Sure.
But that's a different point. There's two different Joe DiMaggios, you see. There's Joe DiMaggio, the human being, who's fascinating, and I might want to read about him in a biography. But Joe DiMaggio, the ball player, Joe DiMaggio, the center fielder of the New York Yankees, Joe DiMaggio, who wrote this hagiographical autobiography, Lucky to Be a Yankee, that's a different figure. See, America as a country is too young to have mythic heroes, and therefore we have to use real human beings to construct mythic heroes, and that's why there was a man named Abraham Lincoln, and it's nice to know about him, but there's also a myth mm-hmm. named Abraham Lincoln. Mm-hmm. The myth of Abraham Lincoln is the man who grew up in a log cabin. I mean, that's not false. The myth of Abraham Lincoln is the man who walked 3 or 4 miles to give 2 pennies back to a lady he'd shortchanged by accident. Probably didn't happen, but even if it did, it's still part of the myth. And I think you don't want to mix those up. That you want to acknowledge there's a human Abe Lincoln, there's a human Joe DiMaggio, you want to know about them, but the myth is real too, and that's beauty and consolation. So I think it's not a trivial starting point, Joe DiMaggio, and in that sense I think much of what is most noble and most edifying about human institutions, our arts, our literature, our music, our sports, our excellences, they are complex social constructions that exist for beauty and consolation. That's why the title of your topic is such a good one. It really does capture something very essential about human needs and the human status in this universe.